everyone, and welcome back to another session of the SCP Files. Sorry I've taken a league of absence. The O5 has been breathing down my neck, we had a containment breach, and we had a few troubles with some D-class personnel, but it's nothing that we couldn't handle. Anyway, the SCP that we're looking at today is SCP-20. Or SCP-020, whichever you prefer. Item: SCP-20. Object class: Keter. Meaning that this thing is very hard to contain and is very dangerous. Special containment procedures: samples of SCP-20 are stored in a series of sealed cultivation chambers inside a sealed containment room at Biological Research Area 12, which is accessible only via airlock. Nutrients are administered via automated robotic systems, as the cultivation chamber must remain sealed at all times. Hermetically sealed video surveillance cameras are installed within the containment room and must be checked daily for integrity. Any personnel entering the containment room must wear biosafety level 5 equipment, including rebreathers, and undergo a full antifungal disinfection upon exiting. Description: SCP-20 is a fast-spreading fungal organism that is capable of affecting the senses and behavior of living creatures, including humans. Samples of SCP-20 exhibit unknown effect that renders them effectively invisible to direct observation, even when under a microscope. SCP-20 is only visible to humans when viewed through photographic or video surveillance. Once SCP-20 forms a colony, usually within a human residence, it will produce spores that affect the behavior of humans around it. Affected subjects will increase the heat and humidity within their homes to create an environment more suitable for the growth of SCP-20. Affected subjects also become more sociable in many cases, and often invite acquaintances to their homes to further spread the organism. As the spores and mold colonies are invisible to affected subjects, the mold may sometimes grow directly on living subjects. As the spores and colonies within a home approach critical concentration, the health of affected human subjects will rapidly deteriorate, resulting in death. Further spread of the mold may occur as the bodies of any deceased subjects are encountered by emergency responders and healthcare agents, as well as transportation of the bodies to local morgues. SCP-20 was first encountered in Redacted, where an undercover SCP agent noticed dramatic personality changes in personnel working at the local hospital. Upon investigation by a containment team, it was discovered that almost redacted civilians had been infected, as well as a majority of the town. The civilian population was terminated, and the town incinerated under cover of a local flash forest fire. To date, over 12 outbreaks of SCP-20 have been reported. Investigations are currently underway to determine the source of these outbreaks and possible prevention measures. Addendum 020-1. Excerpts from the audio-video mission recorders of Mobile Task Force ETA-10. See no evil. During the initial containment of SCP-20 on Redacted. So I'm going to say the log here. Team 2 moving in to the red house. Copy. UAV 1 is picking up 1 heat signature. Team 2 in place. Ready for door opening. At this point, a civilian woman appeared in the doorway, holding a kitchen knife. Video surveillance shows that nearly two-thirds of her face was covered by mold growths. "Well, hello there, gentlemen. Care to take a breather inside?" "On the ground! Drop the weapon!"
"Don't be silly. Come on in. Stay a while."
"Stop where you are! Drop the weapon!"
We just want to have some guests. Please come in."
"Drop the weapon!" It is assumed that at this point, the infected civilian noticed T2-4 carrying a primed incendiary weapon and lunged forward at the team members with the knife. The civilian woman says something, but that data has been expunged, and the team leader has given the command to open fire. After that, all we hear is gunfire and screaming. Well, that brings us to the end of this file. So, mold that spreads insanely quickly takes over the minds of anyone who's by it for too long, and can only be seen if you take a picture or a video recording of it. Strange and dangerous. We'll have to follow on this up another time. Hopefully we can find the source of this thing. But regardless, that's the end of this session. The next session will be for any of you newbies who are new to this whole SCP thing. I'll be explaining the SCP Foundation and what we do here in pretty great detail, so stay tuned for that. But this brings an end to today's session. You're all dismissed. See you again. All right, everyone, settle down. Class is in session once again. Now, I know you guys are all eager to get out of here today, so we have a very short and sweet SCP file to go over today. Well, I guess it's not sweet. They're actually pretty terrifying creatures, and the concept itself is pretty terrifying. But nonetheless, the show must go on, as they say. Anyway, today we are looking over SCP-2421. Otherwise sometimes known as the bath bugs. Object class for this SCP is Euclid. Special containment procedures. Through controlled feeding at certain known feeding areas, the range of SCP-2421 has been limited to a 250 kilometer squared area in south of Russia. Mole Task Force Alpha 2, otherwise known as Resort Staff, are responsible for maintaining these areas. Feeding areas are presented as a chain of resorts branded as Fundamental Springs. D-Class are stationed at all feeding areas for the purpose of consumption. Description. SCP-2421 is a large subterranean entity which resides a minimum of 100 meters beneath ground level. It has a roughly oval shape with a segmented shell covering most of its body and fleshy gaps between each segment to allow for articulation. Hair-like protrusions cover the outside of the shell in an irregular pattern. SCP-2421 possesses no legs and moves in a manner similar to a caterpillar. At the presumed front of the creature are two claw-like mandibles, which allow it to burrow through rock. It is approximately 300 meters long and possesses a 150 meter long proboscis protruding from between its mandibles. Additionally, imaging has shown SCP-2421 to possess an intricate skeletal structure within its shell, containing a number of airfield chambers, the purpose of which are unknown. Sample analysis of the entity reveals a non-standard genetic structure, possibly suggesting extra-dimensional origin. The creature feeds by extending its probiotics towards the surface and puncturing the bottom of a small body of water in which the temperature is approximately 25 degrees Celsius or higher. These locations include hot springs, spas, or in one case, a bath. Once the bottom of the body of water has been punctured, a sphincter at the end of the probiotics will open, and any humans within the water will be pulled inside. The entity will consume approximately 5 humans over a 2-day period once per month, and will expand its feeding area should humans be scarce. Feeding episodes consistent with SCP-2421 were first reported in May 1840, redacted. Attempts to replace D-Class with animals during feeding episodes have been unsuccessful, as test animals remain untouched despite the water being the correct temperature and within the feeding range. D-Class fed to SCP-2421, implanted with tracking devices, have been observed to move in the air-filled chambers of the entity's shell in an erratic manner. In one instance, where civilians were unavoidably consumed during a feeding episode, a call was made to the Foundation-owned spa resort from the phone of a presumed dead civilian within the entity. No specific words were identified, however, background sounds of conversation, laughter, splashing, low moans, and what has been determined to be seagulls were recorded. Well, like I said, it was short today. That's all we got. You guys can all leave now. Go have fun. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, Children of the Night here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's story, whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast. The YouTube channel can be found at youtube.com/childrenofthenight or link in the description. And the podcast can be found basically anywhere you can find podcasts, such as Spotify, Google, Anchor, like I said, pretty much everywhere. If you are interested in supporting me more than you already are by watching either the podcast or on the YouTube channel, be sure to check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/childrenofthenight, or again, you can just use the link in the description. There you can get access to polls which dictate which horror story I'll narrate next. You can get voice acting roles in the podcast, or you can get early access to these narrations so you can hear them before anyone else. Even if you donate just $1, it goes a long way in, you know, keeping the lights on and making the show in higher quality. So thank you so much for anyone who decides to do that. And if you are interested in seeing some horror-related memes or just some minor updates, be sure to check out my Instagram page at childrenofthenight1. And be sure to tune in every single Friday for brand new episodes of the podcast. But until we see each other again, I want to say good night and sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night.
All right, everyone, begin to settle down now as this lecture is in session, and I want you all to pay attention as this one is kind of special today. Now, this SCP file starts with the phrase, or I guess the line, "Under direct orders of the founder, access is limited to those with overseer clearance." Now, that means that you need special permission from the overseer,
be able to even view this SCP file. However, luckily for you guys, I managed to pull a few strings. So, we will be able to review it today. Overseer clearance granted. Item number SCP-006, otherwise known as the Fountain of Youth. Object class, safe. Special containment procedures. Whereas the nature of SCP-006 does not warrant any extensive containment, a certain level of secrecy is necessary regarding the object's existence and properties for obvious reasons. The following procedures are required not for personnel safety, but to deny or hide knowledge of SCP-006's effects from the personnel who interact with it. Naturally, given the nature of this SCP, it kind of has to be a little hush-hush. Number 1. All personnel interacting with SCP-006 in any physical way are required to wear modified Class 6 BNC suits. Before personnel are allowed to perform procedures, they must be briefed with material SCP-006-B or SCP-006-C. SCP-006-A briefing is the correct one and is restricted to only those with O5 clearance. Now we'll get to what O5 clearance means in another lecture. To ensure personnel are wearing suits properly, they are to be submerged into a pool of water. Any air bubbles spotted signify a leak in the suit. Number 2. Procedures with SCP-006 are to be carried out under extreme surveillance. In case of contact with SCP-006, the commander in charge will announce Procedure 006-XI-12, which the personnel have been briefed to believe to mean high toxicity is present and they must evacuate. Number 3. Any procedure in which liquid is acquired from SCP-006 must be approved by 3 O5 level personnel. The liquid is to be transferred in a quad sealant container and under armed guard. Number 4, and lastly, if at any time personnel come into contact with SCP-006 or liquid from SCP-006, they are to be confined and terminated after sufficient studies are done. Due to the nature of SCP-006, the most effective termination method is incineration. For full report, see file SCP-006-TER-05. Description. SCP-006 is a very small spring located 60 kilometers west of Astrakhan. Foundation Command was aware of its existence since the 19th century, but were unable to secure it until 1991 due to political reasons. On the spot of the spring, a chemical factory has been constructed as a disguise, with the majority of laborers under Foundation and/or Russian control. The liquid emitted from the spring has been chemically identified as simple mineral water in 1902, but has the unusual property of quote-unquote health. Ingesting the liquid produces the following properties in all human beings: the ability to regenerate DNA damaged by significant duplication, heightened excitement of cellular duplication, vastly improved abilities in the repair of damaged tissue, and a frightening increase in the effectiveness of all human immune systems. Upon testing the liquid on animal subjects, hostile bacteria and viral agents were destroyed immediately. Many reptiles and birds were unaffected, while higher primates experienced the same benefits as humans did. Well, That's all for this lecture. Like I said, this one needs to be kind of under hush-hush at all times, and I had to pull a couple strings in order to get this access to you guys, so I would highly appreciate not telling anybody I told you all about this. Or you might just become D-class in the future. I would keep that in mind. You're all dismissed. Farewell. Well, it is unfortunately that sad time where we must part ways for now. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the podcast, and I hope it both entertained and horrified you. If you want to support me, be sure to like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're watching on Spotify or anything else like that, be sure to hit a follow, write a review, and share this with a friend. I would love to grow this amazing community that we're slowly building up here. If you want to support me in more ways than you already are by watching this episode, be sure to support me on Patreon at patreon.com/childrenofthenight, or you can just use the link in the description. If you choose to support me there, you can get yourself some extra goodies, like getting to listen to the narrations that I do early. You can also get access to polls that dictate what stuff I'll cover on the podcast next and what stories I'll narrate next. And if you are interested in checking out other things that I do, such as just general updates or sometimes seeing some funny horror memes or anything like that, be sure to follow me on my social media platforms. I have an Instagram, Twitter, and a Facebook. Links to those are all in the description. And if you're watching this on YouTube and you prefer Spotify or anything like that, I am available on there. And if you're watching this on Spotify or something like that, I am available on YouTube as well. But until we meet each other again, I want to say good night and sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night. By order of the Overseer Council, this file is subject to Level 4 classification. Level 4 clearance is required. Oh boy. This stuff again? Okay. Let me just get my clearance ready. And there we go. Clearance has been granted, and now I can educate you all. Don't say I never did anything for you. The item number for this SCP is SCP-008, otherwise simply known as the Zombie Plague. Object Class, Euclid. Special Containment Procedures. SCP-008 samples have been deemed Class 5 Extreme Biological Hazards, and all related protocols apply. Incineration and irradiation measures will be deployed in the event of political or military action which may result in the facility being dismantled. A power failure or zero communications from observatives or outside channels during any given 8-hour period. The quarantine period for operatives leaving the facility is 4 months. If a breach has occurred, incineration and irradiation measures shall be deployed. It should be the policy of all G2 sites to not prepare an evacuation procedure. Description: SCP-008 is a complex prion, samples of which are stored in each of the known G2 sites. Research into SCP-008 is highly classified and primarily aimed at preventing research which may lead to the synthesis of SCP-008 in the distant future. Traits of the SCP-008 prion include 100% infectiousness, 100% lethality, transmission through exposed mucous membranes and all bodily fluids, not airborne or waterborne.
Symptoms of infection with SCP-008 manifest no more than 3 hours after exposure and include flu-like symptoms with high fever plus severe dementia in later stages, coma onset approximately 20 hours after first symptoms appear and 12 hours after noticeable dementia. Coma onset will be considered onset of death. A period of sporadic cellular necrosis occurs, which comes to resemble gangrene. Surviving tissue assumes its original function and is highly resilient. Red blood cells greatly increase oxygen storage capacity, resulting in slower flow and increased muscle endurance and strength. Nervous and muscular systems are unaffected by total organ failure for several hours. Metabolism may decrease to extremely low levels, allowing subjects to survive for over 10 years without nutrition. High blood viscosity results in negligible blood flow from gunshots, puncture, and slashing injuries. Condition behavior monitor controls and instinctive behavioral mechanisms are damaged, and cognitive abilities are severely reduced and erratic. Animals experience excessive brain necrosis and are inactive. Subjects can adapt to its damaged nervous systems, but is limited to basic physical activities including standing up, balancing on two legs, walking, biting, grabbing, and clawing. Subject will energetically move towards sights, sounds, and smells it associates with living humans. Subject will attempt to ingest living humans if physical contact is made. Neutralizing fully infected subjects requires significant cranial trauma. If you don't know what that means, attack the brain, like you see in the movies and shows. There is strong evidence to suggest SCP-008 itself did not form naturally on Earth, since variants of similar complexity would have been displaced much of the ecosystem. In 1959, a short collaborative effort with the USSR to locate G2 sites and eliminate SCP-008 was negotiated following their discovery. The status of SCP-008 in Russian custody since collaboration ended is completely unknown. One addendum here, SCP-008-1. SCP-500 has been found to be able to completely cure SCP-008, even in the advanced stages of the disease. If you don't know, SCP-500 is a pill that has been known to be able to cure literally anything. So even the zombie virus seems to be no match for it. Alright, that's it for this class session. You may all go, and please, don't break into this facility. We've already got one plague going around. Last thing we need is this one also happening at the same time. Farewell for now. Well, it is unfortunately that sad time where we must part ways for now. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the podcast, and I hope it both entertained and horrified you. If you want to support me, be sure to like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're watching on Spotify or anything else like that, be sure to hit a follow, write a review, and share this with a friend. I would love to grow this amazing community that we're slowly building up here. If you want to support me in more ways than you already are by watching this episode, be sure to support me on Patreon at patreon.com/childrenofthenight, or you can just use the link in the description. If you choose to support me there, you can get yourself some extra goodies, like getting to listen to the narrations that I do early, You can also get access to polls that dictate what stuff I'll cover on the podcast next and what stories I'll narrate next. And if you are interested in checking out other things that I do, such as just general updates or sometimes seeing some funny horror memes or anything like that, be sure to follow me on my social media platforms. I have an Instagram, Twitter, and a Facebook. Links to those are all in the description. And if you're watching this on YouTube and you prefer Spotify or anything like that, I am available on there. And if you're watching this on Spotify or something like that, I am available on YouTube as well. But until we meet each other again, I want to say good night and sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night. Okay, everyone settle down now. Glasses in session. I know you all aren't exactly excited to having to be going through another session the day after the next one, but the Foundation decided that you guys needed more education. So the faster we get through this, the faster you can all go home. Without further ado, the SCP we're covering today is SCP-416, otherwise known as the Infinite Forest. Object Class, Euclid. Special Containment Procedures. Owing to its anomalous topographic structure and the danger it poses to civilians, it is essential that SCP-416 be sequestered from the public. Though SCP-416's true borders have yet to be exactly mapped, SCP Overwatch has, in cooperation with the redacted government, restricted foot access and instituted a no-fly zone within 5 kilometers from the boundaries measured by the initial observation team. Description: SCP-416 is an oblong area of forest located in the redacted, in northern redacted. Though its true borders are not known and indeed may be in a constant state of flux, estimates places its center at redacted. It displays remarkable spatial anomalies, the most notable of which is that once entered, it is impossible to leave on foot. The only personnel to escape the area inside SCP-416 were extracted by an aerial reconnaissance team. Though from the air, SCP-416 appears identical to the surrounding forest. It displays a bewildering array of plant life, species as varied as Joshua trees, Grandidier's baobab, Willamy pine, and Manchiel trees have been observed. No explanation has been offered as to how these species arrived and propagated. All observations indicate that SCP-416 is entirely devoid of animal, fungal, or insect life. Personnel deployed inside of SCP-416 report that the entire area is continually overcast with fog despite satellite evidence to the contrary. Exploratory records. On redacted, local geographical surveys reported a sudden seismic event coming from the area known as SCP-416. The Foundation was alerted after the surveys reported anomalous tropical features. D-class personnel were fitted with GPS trackers and tasked with walking across the entire area of SCP-416. Though the subjects reported that they maintained a constant speed, their movement speed relative to the area outside of SCP-416 slowed dramatically as the subjects ventured further in. The deployed personnel were unable to reach the epicenter of the seismic event. The subjects reported no indication of backtracking on their part. It appears that SCP-416 may be infinite in area to observers located within it. The D-class personnel, forced to endure prolonged stays inside SCP-416, have developed a wide array of mental instabilities, ranging from depression to post-traumatic stress disorder to catatonia, hallucinations, and psychosis. A team of physicists assigned to analyze the topographical anomalies associated with this SCP concluded that it appears to be a three-dimensional intersection of a six-dimensional Calabi-Yau manifold with the surface of the Earth. Research is still being conducted as to what force maintains this intersection, though speculation abounds that it is related to the object or objects at the center of SCP-416. Addendum 04-5. SCP-416 is being considered as a storage location for several movable safe and Euclid level SCPs, specifically Data Expunged. Well, that's all for us today. Thank you guys for actually showing up. I know that having two sessions back to back was probably a hard thing to do, but I assure you it is important. Well, goodbye for now, and I promise tomorrow you won't have to come. Well, it is unfortunately that sad time where we must part ways for now. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the podcast, and I hope it both entertained and horrified you. If you want to support me, be sure to like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're watching on Spotify or anything else like that, be sure to hit a follow, write a review, and share this with a friend. I would love to grow this amazing community that we're slowly building up here. If you want to support me in more ways than you already are by watching this episode, be sure to support me on Patreon at patreon.com/childrenofthenight. Or you can just use the link in the description. If you choose to support me there, you can get yourself some extra goodies, like getting to listen to the narrations that I do early. You can also get access to polls that dictate what stuff I'll cover on the podcast next and what stories I'll narrate next. And if you are interested in checking out other things that I do, such as just general updates or sometimes seeing some funny horror memes or anything like that, be sure to follow me on my social media platforms. I have an Instagram, Twitter, and a Facebook. Links to those are all in the description. And if you're watching this on YouTube and you prefer Spotify or anything like that, I am available on there. And if you're watching this on Spotify or something like that, I am available on YouTube as well. But until we meet each other again, I want to say good night and sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night.